This week is Thanksgiving. Let's think about something to be thankful for. The lesson this morning is making relationships worthy of thanksgiving. Making relationships worthy of thanksgiving. And the reason I title it that is because we all want to have friendships. We all want to get along with family, husbands and wives, and parents and children, and aunts and uncles and cousins, and we want to be able to get along. We want to have good relationships. But so many times, those relationships are not all they could be. And sometimes worse than that, those relationships are actually such that we find ourselves unthankful for them. You know, we often say when we talk about Thanksgiving and somebody says, well, what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my family, or I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for the other members at church. We say things like that, but sometimes all of us, if we're honest, we have to admit that some of those relationships are ones that from time to time we kind of wish we didn't have. We kind of think we'd be better off alone than to have friends like that. You know, the old saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Sometimes we all feel that way about someone that we have a relationship with that's supposed to be a good relationship. It's supposed to be a friendship, or it's supposed to be a family member. But the relationship is just not what it ought to be. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Solomon says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So he puts the burden on us. If you're going to have friends, you're going to have to be friendly. But then he says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And some of you have found friends like that. You've found friends that are closer to you than your own family members. And those are good friends, and they're hard to find. But there are friends that are closer than your own flesh and blood sometimes. But those things don't happen just by accident. It takes some work in order to get a relationship like that. And so many times we do things that destroy those relationships. Proverbs 27, verses 9 and 10 that was read to us a little while ago. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. You know how happy you are when you smell something that smells good. Oh, that smells so good. Feel good to be around that. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Our friends can make our heart rejoice as well. And so because of that, Solomon gives his son some advice. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Sometimes we forsake friendships and then later on we wish we had those friends back. We need to beware of that. And then he says, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. He says, you're better off to have people close by that you can trust when you've got trouble than a family member that's a long ways away. That's something that we need to think about. How we treat our friends has a lot to do with whether we have good friends. If we turn on them, if we forsake them, we may lose that friendship. A lot of the things that we're about to discuss really relate to the marriage relationship specifically, and I use them a lot in my marriage counseling. But they work with all of our relationships. So if you're married out there, then apply this to your marriage as well, and hopefully it'll help you out. But if you're not married, you have relationships, friendships, family members, maybe siblings, children, parents. You have some other relationships that you have that this can affect. To begin with, I want to paint this picture for you. Imagine, and it's not really that hard to imagine, it's just hard to see it because it's not a physical thing. But imagine, if you will, that each of us has a love bank. We have within our minds a bank that keeps track emotionally of the people that we know. And what happens with that is that each individual that we have ever met has an account with us. Some of those accounts are in good standing. Some of those accounts are in the negative and they're overdrawn. Because every time we come across someone, something they say or something they do, maybe just the way they look, affects us. And it affects how we feel about that person. So when we meet someone and the very first thing they say to us is something rude, we usually say things like, well, that person's not very nice. Or, I didn't really like that person very well. On the other hand, if the first thing that somebody says to us is, oh, I love that outfit you're wearing. Where did you get that? Or if they compliment us on something, or if they say something that indicates that they have similar interests or similar likes and dislikes to us, then we say, this person's all right. Now, as our relationships develop, that account changes with the positives and negatives, or in other words, the deposits and withdrawals that that individual makes. As a person continues to do good things to us and for us, we see, hey, I like this person a lot. I consider this person a friend. If a person, on the other hand, does a lot of mean things to us, we begin to think of that person as an enemy. And we start to think, you know, that I don't even want to ever be around that person. Because every time they're around, they mistreat me. But on the other hand, this person over here, they always help me out when I'm in a jam. When I need some help, they're there for me. I like this person. And it's all because of that account. Now, you know, all of us have had situations where our first impression of somebody was negative, but that later on, we turned that around. Well, that's certainly possible. All of us, on the other hand, have had initial first impressions of someone that were very positive, but that then, as we got to know that person better, turned around as well. But see, the problem that comes into play in many of our relationships that are friendships is that we begin to take the friendship for granted, and we stop doing those little acts of kindness, those little acts of friendship that initially established that friendship in the first place. We talked last week about some of those things in the marriage relationship. We talked about Christ and the church, and we talked about some of the things that were essential to a marriage relationship, and some of those same things are essential in a friendship, companionship, and conversation, communication, those things. Those things are important for us to keep the relationship going. But worse than just taking it for granted and not helping it to grow along, sometimes we actually do things that damage the relationship or even destroy the relationship. It's somewhat like a car. If you neglect a car by leaving the oil in there for 10 years, the car will last for a while, but eventually it'll give out. On the other hand, if you take that same car and you keep the oil changed regularly, well, that'll be in pretty good shape. It'll last many years. If, in the same way, you do destructive things to that vehicle, if you take it out in a demolition derby and crash it into things, well, it won't be long at all before that car won't run. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There are five things that destroy relationships. Just like taking a car and crashing it into a brick wall, there are five things that we do in our relationships with other people that will just absolutely destroy them. We'll lose our friends, we'll lose our family, everybody will turn against us. So there are five things that destroy relationships, and one of them is anger. Not just any anger, though, but particularly angry outbursts. Most of us don't like to be around a person who's yelling and screaming at us all the time. I guess there are some people that might get a kick out of that, but most of us, if somebody's yelling at us and screaming at us, that's not a very pleasant experience. We don't like that a whole lot. And so we'll do things to avoid that kind of situation. So being angry all the time and outbursts of yelling and screaming and saying mean and ugly things to another person. You know, when we yell at somebody, "I hate you, I wish you'd never been born," well, that's certainly not going to help a friendship very much, is it? Brothers and sisters, I think, sometimes say things like that to each other, especially when they're little, but some of them still do when they're grown. "I wish you'd never been born. I wish I'd been an only child." You know, but sometimes we feel that way, and we just get so angry, we let it out, and we damage a relationship because of that. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Proverbs has a lot to say about anger. First, he warns his son, "Don't make friendships with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul." Anger can cause us to lose our soul, the writer of Proverbs tells us there. He also says in chapter 29 and verse 22, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression." You ever notice that? That you do a lot of the bad things that you do when you get angry. Because once you lose control of your temper, you lose control of a lot of other things as well. So the furious man abounds in transgression. It happens to a lot of us. When we lose our temper, we say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. And it's not good. Solomon also told his son that it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. He also says, "He that is soon angry deals foolishly." That's Proverbs 21:19 and Proverbs 14:17. So he paints the picture both ways, man or woman. Being angry gets you into a lot of trouble, causes a lot of problems. You do foolish things. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 22 that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, "Raca," that means empty head, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, "You fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. But Jesus says that when you lose your temper and you start to lose control, one of the things you lose control of first is your tongue. Because angry words usually come before angry actions. But he tells us that this is a dangerous situation to get into. He warns us about it. So anger is one of the five things that can destroy a relationship. Another of the five things that destroys a relationship is disrespectful judgments. Disrespectful judgments. Now this is not just any judgment at all, because some judgments have to be made. Some judgments need to be made. But there are some judgments that are just disrespectful. They're not based on fact or on trying to help that person to correct the problem or anything of that nature. All they're focused on is being disrespectful to that person. Many times when a husband and wife particularly, and a lot of these things come out so much with husbands and wives because a husband and wife spend so much more time together than most of the other relationships that we have in this world. Now, we may see family members quite often, but most of the time people don't live with their family all the time. Some do, but most don't. Most, you know, they see their family around holidays, and there may be some stress and some strife, but it's not like that husband and wife are living with each other all the time. And so these things a lot of times come out in the arguments that husbands and wives have. Husbands and wives will say one to the other, "You always do such and such." And that's almost never true. Nobody always does much of anything. You know, you always do this or that. Or you never do this or that. You see, that's a disrespectful judgment. Because it's unfair. It's unjust to say that somebody always does something or that they never do something. That's disrespectful. Because it's dishonest a little bit, to be honest with you. Because you're saying somebody does something that they don't do, or at least you're putting that exaggeration on it. And husbands and wives are notorious for that. Anytime something comes up, that person always did it or never did it, and they begin the argument there, and then of course it goes back and forth. Of course, Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." It tells us if we set a standard for others that's impossible for them to meet, then we're going to be judged by that same kind of a standard. Others are going to look to us that way. "Well, you think that so-and-so has to do something. Well, I expect you to be that way then." You see, that's why people call us hypocrites sometimes when we judge others for things that we ourselves are not willing to do or not able to do. We're being disrespectful in our judging when we're expecting other people to meet a standard that we're unwilling to meet. Jesus didn't say that you just never judge anything at all. But he did say, the judgment you use is the judgment that's going to be judged to you. If we're hypercritical and nobody can ever do anything good enough to please us, we better watch out. Because that same standard is going to be applied to us. Jesus said in John 7:24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So we do need to judge from time to time. But just not the disrespectful, unfair, unjust judgments. That was the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees. They were judging Him all the time. But they were doing it unfairly. They applied a different standard to Him than they applied to themselves. Which is why He called them hypocrites. We've got to watch out for that. If we're going to make a judgment, we better make sure that the facts back it up. If I'm going to tell my wife that she always does something, then I better have some proof. Because I'm stepping out on a big limb. You know, those words, "always" and "never," are awfully big words. They carry an awful lot of weight We should be very careful how we use those things. We can use those kinds of words when we talk about God. God never lies. God always does what's right. God is always fair. But we can't say that about each other. Or the opposite of that. You always mistreat me. You always neglect me. No, not always. We need to be honest with ourselves and not exaggerate when we're having problems with someone else. A lot of times these disrespectful judgments go hand in hand with the anger that we talked about a moment ago. But let's move on then to the third thing. Another thing that destroys relationships is annoying behaviors. Annoying behaviors? That'll destroy a relationship? Have you ever had a friend that just drove you nuts because of some annoying behavior they had? Yeah, it can eventually destroy a relationship. In the Song of Solomon, is mentioned in that section, and it's again applying to the marriage relationship, but in a figurative way, because it talks about a vineyard. And it says, "Beware of the little foxes that eat the grapes." And they destroy, of course, then the crop of the vineyard. And those little foxes are a lot like these annoying behaviors that we sometimes have. They're not big things. I mean, it's not like we killed somebody. It's not like we broke a whole bunch of laws. Not drug use or not theft, not abuse. It's not those kinds of things. It's the little annoying things. The little foxes. You see, the fence will keep the big foxes out, but those little foxes will sneak through the little gap in the fence. So we've got to watch out for the little foxes, these annoying behaviors. Proverbs 27 and verse 14 says, "He that blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." You know, sometimes if you do something that annoys somebody, even if you're trying to be helpful, you think you're doing something. He's blessing his friend. And he's doing it with a loud voice so everybody can hear how wonderful his friend is. Unfortunately, he woke his friend up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do that. And his friend's not too happy about it. He calls on him early in the morning, hollering with a loud voice to bless him. But it says it's going to be counted as a curse. Because it's an annoying behavior. And we've got to watch out for those annoying behaviors. We all have them. And the thing about a lot of those annoying behaviors is we don't realize we have them. They're not that annoying to us. We don't even notice them. But somebody else does. Sometimes we may need someone else to call our attention to that behavior so that we can stop doing those things that are annoying to them. Another thing that we find that can destroy relationships are selfish demands. Selfish demands. You know, we often say that friendship's a two-way street. It's give and take. We gotta share. It's 50-50. We say things like that. And of course, they say things like that about marriage, too. I know it's not true in marriage, because marriage is 100%, 100%. There's no 50-50. But in a lot of relationships, 50-50 will get you by. But there's gotta be some compromise. There's gotta be some giving. You've got to help out your friend if you want your friend to help you out. Those kinds of things. If you want to hire somebody to do a job for you, hire them. But if you want your friend to help you, then sometimes you're going to have to help your friend too. That's the way those things work. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 6 says, "Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. Don't we like people that give us gifts? Oh yeah, that's always a good thing when we get a gift, isn't it? Even if it was something we didn't really like, it's just, you know, we say, well, it's the thought that counts. They thought about me and they gave me a gift. It may not have been what I wanted or what I would have bought if I was going out, but they thought about me and wanted to buy me something. That was sweet of them. We say things like that. Well, when somebody gives gifts, that creates a friendship there. It creates a deposit in that love bank that we talked about earlier when we do something for someone else. On the other hand, the opposite of that would be someone who always expects to receive gifts. Now, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. But there are some people who are givers and some people who are takers. And they always want. And they never get enough. They want more and more. And no matter what you give them, they complain that you should have given them something more or you should have done something more. Reminded of the story of the woman who went to the marriage counselor and she said, I just can't take it anymore. I'm going to leave my husband. I'm going to divorce him. And the marriage counselor said, well, what's wrong? Well, he is so selfish. He never considers my needs at all. He always wants me to, and I can never reach up to what he wants for me to do. And the marriage counselor said, well, that's, she's probably just exaggerating, so I'm going to give her some advice. He said, well, tell you what, try one more day. Just go home, and tomorrow, whatever he wants, you do it for him. Anything, you do everything he asks you to do tomorrow. And so she said, okay, I'll give it one more try. I'm going to do my best to do everything that I can for him. So she goes back home. The next morning, by 10 o'clock, she's back in his office, and she said, I give up. And he said, well, what happened? It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. She said, well, when he got up this morning, I asked him what he wanted for breakfast. And he said, okay, well, that's good. You want him to do whatever he wanted to please him? Yeah, he said he wanted one egg fried and one egg scrambled. Wanted two eggs for breakfast, one fried and one scrambled. She said, okay, I can do that. And so I went and fixed the eggs and got them on the plate and fixed everything else, that, you know, bacon and the juice and milk. And got it all out there, the toast. I didn't even burn the toast. Everything, it was perfect. And he came and he sat down and he looked at the plate and he said, woman, you fried the wrong egg. Now see, that's selfish to man. That's unreasonable. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, probably. But sometimes we all are selfish about something, and we make demands that are maybe not quite that unreasonable, but they're unreasonable all the same. And we've got to watch out for that, because it is easy to get caught up in wanting to please self. Of course, the Bible teaches us that we should esteem others as better than ourselves. We need to think about other people's needs and wants first rather than our own selfish demands. But you've known someone who probably made some selfish demands, and somebody, if they make enough selfish demands on you, that's enough withdrawals in their bank account that eventually you're going to close their account and kick them out of your bank. And you don't want to have a relationship with them anymore because of that. If they just constantly are demanding selfish things and never putting anything in to make a difference in the account. The fifth and final thing that we want to look at this morning that causes relationships to be destroyed is dishonesty. And this is certainly a major problem in marriage, in friendships, in all sorts of relationships. Dishonesty. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So he tells us, honesty can change somebody's opinion of us. Honesty can make somebody realize that they were wrong. But so many times, dishonesty can destroy a relationship. Proverbs 27 and verse 6, Solomon says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And sometimes we feel that way when we have somebody that we thought was a friend and we trusted them, and then they do some dishonest things that destroys our trust. And it may not necessarily even be that they lie to us, but we thought that, hey, you were my friend. Why did you go talking about me behind my back? You were my friend. Why were you gossiping about me? I thought you were my friend. Why did you betray me like that? See, Jesus had someone like that in his group too. Judas tried to pretend to be Jesus' friend, but then he stabbed him in the back. He was dishonest. Not necessarily sometimes so much in a matter of words, but our actions can be dishonest as well. We need to live honestly and speak honestly. When we're dishonest, it destroys trust. And trust is a foundation for every relationship. It's a matter of faithfulness. Now, when in the marriage relationship, a lot of times we talk about faithfulness, we're talking about sexual fidelity between the husband and wife. But there's a matter of faithfulness in all friendships. That we're faithful to that friend. We don't betray that friend. We don't deceive that friend. We don't lie to that friend. The friend is the one that'll tell you, hey, you know what? You got some spinach stuck between your teeth. Or hey, you know what? You got a big splotch of something right here on your shirt. That's the friend. The wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy. It's better to have a friend tell you the truth, even if the truth hurts a little bit, than for an enemy to be flattering you and then turn around and stab you in the back, which is what so many times they will do. If you're here this morning, perhaps you've caused some problems in your relationships because of some of these things that you've done. Now, we can't control other people and the way they treat us in these relationships, but we can control the way that we treat them. And we can draw some limits and make some boundaries and say, you know what? I will not allow you to treat me this way. I'm not a doormat to be walked over. There are rules for relationships. There are things that are not right. If you're going to yell and scream at me all the time, I'm going to find another friend. I don't like that. If you're going to be judging me unfairly, I'm going to find somebody that will judge me right. If you're going to be dishonest with me, you'll find somebody that will be honest. Or else you better change and start being honest and win back my trust. You know, sometimes we may give a friend a second chance even after they've hurt us, because in the past they had shown us that they could be good to us and be good friends. You know, Jesus is the best friend of all. He'll never do anything to hurt us. And He, even though we did horrible things to hurt Him, still loves us and is willing to forgive us if we'll come back to Him. You know, sometimes we end relationships, whether it be marriages that end, whether it be friendships that end, whether it be family relationships where, you're not part of my family anymore. Sometimes we end relationships because of some of these things that we talk about. But Jesus has promised us that if we will come back to Him, no matter what we've done, He'll take us back if we will come back. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation to come back to Jesus or to come to Him for the first time, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.